Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com.
From KQED.
Hey, it's Erica, just coming at you with an opportunity to help us make our show better for you. We have a listener survey going that takes literally just 8 minutes of your time. We want to hear what ideas you have for the show, what you like about it, what you don't like. It's literally going to inform what we do with the show. So please take our listener survey. It's at kqed.org/thebaysurvey. And thanks. I'm Erica Cruz Guevara, and welcome to The Bay. Local news to keep you rooted.
Okay, so I'm passing by this huge building that I pass by actually pretty often out here in Vallejo. It's this, like, very different looking building compared to everything else around it. It's got this kind of, like, modern look to it. It has these empty rooms at the bottom that I can imagine like businesses being in. And for a while, this building was kind of just sitting there, like half built. And it wasn't until the last couple of weeks and months that construction really seems to have started picking up. And it turns out it's actually an affordable housing complex that has been financed in part by the now collapsed Silicon Valley Bank, which got me wondering what's gonna happen to this building.
Silicon Valley Bank had its hands in nearly a dozen affordable housing projects around the Bay Area. And now the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank is gonna have a big impact on these really important projects.
It really does just highlight how much affordable housing and our housing crisis is tied to these banking systems.
The feds have taken over Silicon Valley Bank, but that doesn't mean these projects are totally in the clear. Today, what the bank's collapse means for all that affordable housing.
Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app. Star One Credit Union, in your best interest.
Regional banks like Silicon Valley Bank play a pivotal role for affordable housing.
Sydney Johnson is a reporter for KQED.
In most cases, a loan is entirely necessary for an affordable project to get off the ground. Most, if not all, affordable housing gets built with a combination of loans, equity investments, and government subsidies, such as tax credits. State funding and purchasing existing housing to make it affordable is another tool that the state will sometimes use, but for building new projects, most, if not all, affordable housing will get built with lending.
Why are smaller and local banks in particular so important to affordable housing projects?
So Silicon Valley Bank claims that it spent at least $2 billion on affordable housing projects over the last two decades in the Bay Area. It may not be a huge surprise, but affordable housing is not always the most lucrative option for big banks and lenders, even if it is really steady work. We're in a housing deficit. We need more housing. We need more affordable housing. So in that sense, affordable housing can be an attractive asset for a bank because it's something that they know will eventually pay off. But compared to, say, market rate or luxury housing, you're not going to see that same really high return on investment in terms of dollars. But the reason why banks like Silicon Valley and these other local banks are really important is because they will often invest in some of these projects that some big national banks will not. For these local banks, it often is part of an obligation that they may have to serve their community, or they may be able to take advantage of certain tax credits. Often, it is these regional banks that are investing in these projects that the Bay Area really needs.
While affordable housing projects get a good chunk of money from Silicon Valley Bank, the bank's real bread and butter is in venture capital and tech startups. In the lead up to the bank's collapse, murmurs that Silicon Valley Bank might be in trouble spread. And in just one day, customers pulled out billions of dollars from their accounts, causing the bank to fail virtually overnight. The collapse immediately raised questions about what would happen to all the housing projects tied up in the bank, and which projects those were exactly. Okay, so $2 billion in loans doled out to affordable housing projects around the Bay. Once Silicon Valley Bank closed, how'd you go about finding what projects might be affected?
I did what most reporters do. I picked up the phone and I started calling around. I contacted several different affordable housing developers around the Bay Area. I also contacted cities directly to ask their housing departments, do you have any projects that are being financed through or with Silicon Valley Bank? And are any of those in trouble now that the bank has failed?
What'd you find?
So I found that there are at least 11 projects around the Bay Area that have largely or entirely affordable housing as a part of it. And they had financing that was threatened as a result of the Silicon Valley Bank closure. There were 5 in San Francisco, 3 in San Jose, 1 in Vallejo, 1 in Livermore, and 1 in East Palo Alto. The largest that I found was in San Jose and actually in San Francisco as well. They were both 135 units. And the smallest was a small apartment complex in East Palo Alto that was 32 units. Some of these are housing projects slated for teachers. Some are affordable units for seniors. And altogether, we found about 1,000 units that were impacted. And, you know, that's just 1,000 units. When we're talking about the number of actual people that can be housed here, I mean, you could potentially double that number.
And that's just the projects we know about, right? Because there were some cities that didn't get back to you.
That's right. I didn't hear back, curiously, from the city of Oakland. And the developers that I spoke to didn't have projects there that were affected by this bank run. So that's one city that I'm still curious about, because we know that, obviously, the housing crisis is present in Oakland. And we know that they also are looking a lot at affordable housing.
Okay, so that's 11 projects that we know about, though it sounds like there could be more. What immediate impact did the closure have on these affordable housing projects?
I think it was really just a giant shock and scare immediately, and confusion. In one case, there was a developer that I spoke to, and they had $42 million worth of loans with Silicon Valley Bank. That's a lot of money for construction. And so for them, it was a big heart drop sort of moment. How could this happen? It all happened quite quickly too. But we have heard, as the waters have settled somewhat, that these projects are still in good standing in the sense that they are not going to be torn down. But really the next steps are still somewhat to be seen.
Developers say they've been reassured by Silicon Valley Bank and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or FDIC, that they will in fact get the loans that they were promised. Lots of people have been able to breathe a sigh of relief as a result, but it doesn't mean that everything is A-OK now.
This is still very much a fluid situation.
Affordable housing projects never have much margin for error, financially or otherwise.
I spoke with Senator Scott Wiener, who is a major housing advocate in this state and has also been pretty outspoken about San Francisco needing to increase affordable housing within its city boundaries.
This is still a disruption. We don't know what's going to happen to these projects, and we need to make sure that they happen.
He was very concerned about the threat and uncertainty that there now is around these projects. And he firsthand had some experience with trying to get a loan for a local project from a big bank.
We could not get anything from them. And it was First Republic that stepped up and gave us the construction loan that allowed us to build San Francisco's LGBT Community Center.
I think anytime there is a major banking event like this, it usually takes some time to see what the fallout really will be. So, you know, we're concerned about what may happen or what is happening at First Republic Bank and what potentially trickle-down effects that could have on this space. But in the immediate term, the projects that we identified have been assured that they will at least be able to continue. Now they're in a place where they have to find a new lender for these projects and think about their long-term new banking partner.
So it sounds like these projects are sort of not delayed for now, but that they sort of need to find other places to help finance them since the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. And I guess a question that I have to ask is, should we be worried about what this story means for affordable housing and the housing crisis in the Bay Area?
I think so. I'm worried. I also think that there will be delays as a result of this. And when you look at the specific projects, teacher housing, senior housing, like these are groups that need housing yesterday. And without, you know, keeping these projects on track, I think that that is really concerning. And I think it may also have investors questioning, you know, what their projects are, tightening their belts. I think that this does put a lot of question around just affordable housing investment in general. This whole experience really reveals how vulnerable affordable housing is to these economic systems that we've developed in the Bay Area and obviously across the nation. We have an economic system that does not necessarily incentivize affordable housing. And so I think that definitely calls into question just overall, you know, the reliance there. And are there ways we can build this without those relationships? I don't know.
Well, Sydney, thanks so much for joining us on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Erica.
That was Sydney Johnson, a reporter for KQED. If you know of any affordable housing projects impacted by the closure of Silicon Valley Bank, hit Sydney up. Her email is sjohnson@kqed.org. This 23-minute conversation with Sydney was cut down and edited by our intern, Jalen Herdman. Producer Maria Esquinca scored this episode and added all the tape. Our senior editor is Alan Montecilio. Support for the Bay is provided by the Osher Production Fund. I'm Erica Cruz Guevara. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.